This is your moment. Your moment to move forward and make progress. It's time to see where an education can take you. For over 130 years, Strayer University has been at the forefront of change, offering programs that help students like you get ahead and stay ahead, so you can keep striving. Visit strayer.edu to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
You're in the madhouse now.
You're listening to Voss and Bonnie's My Wife Hates Me on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com.
She really hates him. It's really true. Why did she marry this jackass Jew? Some people say that opposites attract, but this seems more like a suicide pact. He's totally sober, she's not that drunk. He's really old and she's got some spunk. He's totally holy as an asinine bomb, and she's just a little less dumb. She really hates him, it's really true. But somewhere deep down, she loves him too.
Testing 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Here we go with the podcast testing. 1, 2, 3. It seems like we haven't done one forever. Did we do one last week?
Yeah.
Do we have reads this week?
Yeah.
No. Okay. Next week. I don't know. Let me find
out. Why would you ask and say no if you already knew the answer?
I don't know the answer.
We really got to step up our arguing. We got a lot of competition, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
According to the New York Post. I saw your tweet, by the way, you dum-dum.
What?
Wife and I have been doing it for 7 years.
Yeah, do some fucking research.
They probably just hired a publicist. He probably has a real job. They're probably real people.
Well, what's his name?
So they have money, so they can just hire a publicist. Like, hey, you could just be the publicist.
Bob Gullup once, he said he'd be our publicist. He uses another name. And he sells good. He's a real good salesman.
I don't think he wants you to say it.
Oh. He uses something Thomas.
Please.
He's good. Good publicist.
And he what, for himself?
Yeah, for whatever. He's,
well, now
he
did something. No.
I didn't ruin it. No one's listening to this.
No, we're not in the fucking New York Post, are we?
Well, digging
it. New York couple uses their real life arguments on a podcast. It goes viral.
Really? You fucking...
What do you mean it went viral?
I don't know.
It didn't go viral.
I added that.
It probably got fucking 3,000 listeners. 1,000.
Did you read the article? I certainly didn't.
No, I wouldn't read that fucking article. I looked at them and knew they weren't funny. I looked at them. What did they fucking argue about? Fucking...
Some people don't like their arguments funny. Some people like their arguments, you know, more on the dramatic side. So what are you going to do?
I'm not going to do anything.
As per usual. And this is my whole problem with you. You don't do anything.
I know, they're just fucking whatever.
Come on, honey. Time to argue.
Ugh. They do a podcast.
Why is it when they do it, they're horrible? When we do it, it's like, it's genuine.
Because we're fun
cool.
And we have other things to talk about. What are they going to talk about? Fucking...
I bet they're bad at tennis, too.
I don't even want to fucking challenge them to tennis.
No, I'm not challenging those. It's only comedians.
I know. What do they do for a living?
I didn't read the article. You want me to find the article?
Yeah, get the article. I can't even imagine. It's in the Post. While she's finding the article, I'll plug a couple of gigs. I'll get that over with. I don't know what I have coming up. I'm not plugging anything.
You're not?
Nah. This week I'm at some... I'm kind of looking forward to this gig because it's not
your... a hit podcast, it says. How this couple turned their fights into a hit podcast. And this other couple didn't do that.
Who, was that us?
Yes. In a recent discussion with her husband, mom of three, Daniel Silverstein, grilled her husband about what he thought about post-baby body. What are you thinking about when I'm naked? She asked matter-of-factly. The folds in my stomach, my sagging boobs, my C-section scars? Quickly as a flash, her spouse Adam answered, I'm just thinking about having sex. I'm so fucking, what a cunt I am. Still, this frank and flirty conversation took place in the privacy of the couple's home in suburban Manalapan. What?
Wait, their suburban home in
New Jersey.
Yeah. Manalapan.
They live in fucking New Jersey. But it was heard by thousands on fans of Silverstein's new podcast, Marriage and Martinis. The series of recordings launched 3 months ago. Has proved popular with listeners. As many as 1,100 people might download their show on any given day. And they've gotten more than 70,000 downloads on iTunes. What do we get? About four? I mean, not
four. Wait, 4, how many did they get?
Listen, you cock!
They got 70,000 downloads?
As many as 1,100 people might download their show on any given day. And they've gotten more than 70,000 downloads on iTunes.
Oh, that doesn't mean anything. That's in how long?
I think it's because we talk so honestly and openly about our relationship.
How long is 1,100?
A 40-year-old stay-at-home mom tells The Post. We have found our niche, adds Adam, 41, who runs a party supplies business. We're holding up a mirror to parenthood and marriage.
They heard ours first, you know it.
The pair, wed 16 years now, came up with the idea after Daniel heard Rich and Bonnie... started a blog 18 months ago called Where the F is My Handbook on being a self-described hot mess mom. I'm a MILF and a hot mess mom.
Ugh, she's not a MILF. Do you see her? And
hey,
he's
hey,
not
hey,
a MILF.
Hey, hey, watch.
What? No, she
hold
called,
back. I'm,
no.
I said MILF. I was making fun of her.
Oh,
not for being unattractive, but
I didn't say she was unattractive.
Okay. Let's just not make fun of anyone's look.
You did. You know, I'm not making
fun. I didn't. I don't.
Huh?
I'm making fun of the fact that she's using these, fucking hacky, what do you call it? Sayings and stuff. She's real original. On the site, she divulges her struggles with scheduling and parenting their children, 13-year-old
Not a
Mila,
MILF. I saw it. She's not a MILF.
10-year-old Ian and 7-year-old Jonah. And guess how they're spelling Ian. E-A-N. Maybe figure that out before you start a fucking podcast. This time around, I want to do something that involved Adam, she says. You're always getting the mom's perspective, so no, why not get the husband's too? Once or twice a week, the couple sits down in their so-called bar room. Look, come on.
What, that's your ad lib? That's your ad lib? Come on.
They have martinis. They get martinis. That's what we're doing wrong. Pours out a
we're
cocktail
coffee.
Or two, mimosas, Mai Tais, cosmopolitans, or martinis.
You're not really reading that.
Yes, mixed by Adam, and settles in to talk out their issues. More often than not, Daniel lets the F-bomb fly.
What, fuck? She says fuck?
Occasionally, I say the F-bomb.
Oh, I hate when people use it, the F-bomb. Go
that's
fuck yourself.
That's the New York Post saying it.
No, but that's what people say. Oh, he said the F-bomb. Or you hear on radio, the F-bomb. Or,
dropped a couple of F-bombs.
Yeah. Don't you think fucking Japan wish we'd just drop the F-bomb on them?
You got that kind of humor on your podcast, buddies?
Huh? Get what I'm saying?
I get it, Rich.
That's a... All right.
Though they have a light-hearted approach, their conversations aren't always merry. The podcast has tackled topics as diverse as Danielle's obsessive-compulsive disorder, which once drove her to obsessively double-check things around the house. Did it drive her to double-check things around the house?
Oh, really? Why don't you go look at my 60 pairs of sneakers?
Come back to me and talk to me about obsessive compulsions okay. when you live with this man for a couple of days, all right? All right, Danielle.
Did I get you bring back food last night because I got it for free, huh?
Yeah, I don't know if that's obsessive compulsive, but that is definitely a disorder where you cannot turn down something free.
Yeah.
But then you had to tell me 20 times that it's in the fridge.
No, twice.
I got you something. I brought you home some food. Twice. There's some limp-ass salad in the fridge for you.
It's not limp. It was the, what do you call salad that you like?
Calm down.
It's the vegan
calm
salad.
Calm down. This is lighthearted.
Okay, why don't you stir your martini or at least drink your coffee?
Ooh. I might have to double-check a couple of things. Oh, God, don't take me to the loony bin! Don't take me! I'm just double-checking the stove! God!
Boy, they seem like a real
is the door
crazy
locked? I gotta go back and check. I'm sorry. I'm crazy.
I've been doing that shit for years. I'm on medication. Thank you. They're copying
only
us.
You would try to one up someone in insanity, mental illness. My mental illness is worse than his. Worse than hers. Worse than hers.
Everything they're doing, okay. We did.
Which once drove her to obsessively double check things around the house.
Ooh, real disorder.
What a day that was. It took twice as long to get out of the house. Ooh.
Windows locked. Check.
I just got to go back and look one more time at everything.
Hangers all facing
this is
the
gonna,
same
this
way.
This is going to put us out 5 minutes.
Hangers all facing the same way. Check. Sneakers in order. Check.
Oh, my God. And what? To double check things around the house. And this is the podcast tackles the topics diverse as Danielle's obsessive compulsive disorder and Adam's fondness for alcohol and gambling, which Danielle cannot stand.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Oh, but make sure you give us both the martinis there before we start. I hate when you're drinking. Is this dry? Thank you.
Yeah. You want to talk about alcoholism and gambling, please.
Oh my God, listen to
they
this.
They have nothing on me
listen to
when
this.
It comes to
our
that.
Marriage is better now than it's ever been, but we're still gonna fight. Our marriage is worse now than it's ever been. Now I'm doing what you do. I'm one-upping on bad things. Sometimes they've even caught themselves spiraling into fights on the air. We've never done that.
Yes, we have.
This is why we will continue to fight forever, because after all this time, he doesn't know me. He still doesn't know who's sitting across from him.
Yes, I do.
It's not across. We're at the corner.
What?
And you take things so literally. I said, sitting across from you, you'd be like, we're not sitting across from each other.
We are. It's a diagonal across.
Oh, my God. A few weeks ago, I wish we had music. Don't do that. Don't pick your fucking nails. I'll cut your hands off. A few weeks ago, they had a tense on-air conversation about the division of responsibilities and chores, with Adam hinting that his wife had an easier life than he does.
I can agree with that. There's something I...
Adam.
See?
I do all the... I get the kids ready for school. We've had this. I can't make fun of it.
Well, I see his point there.
I certainly needed a few drinks to get through that discussion, says Danielle. But I hated it when my husband did. No. She wound up crying mid-recording.
How many times have you cried?
Only when you hit me. Only.
How many times have you cried?
Only when you punch me in the
spleen. Did he get blown during a fucking podcast?
That was a radio play.
Did he get blown during a podcast?
Stop it. Are you insane? That's why they're saying F-bomb. At least two people drop F-bombs occasionally, you should be warned. They're not going to do a podcast. And sometimes, in the middle of the fight, the wife will drop to her knees and blow the husband.
You ever hear that sound during their podcast?
Did you learn nothing during the Jill Soloway, Hannah Gatsby show?
I'm doing a humorous podcast.
Stop.
All right, go ahead.
She wound up crying mid-recording and snapped at Adam when he complained about having to de-wrinkle his own shirt in the dryer.
All you do is spray it with a little water, spray, then you throw it back in the dryer and it...
Are all the knives stowed away? Danielle seethed. Because I will effing kill you.
F-bomb again.
F-bomb. There's her fucking notorious F-bomb. This one has a... What a potty mouth.
What a mouth on this little one.
The knives stowed away. He says, go ahead and try. You put those knives in the dishwasher, they couldn't cut a fucking apple. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Okay. But the couple doesn't regret releasing the taping. Our marriage is better now than it's ever been, but we're still going to fight. Oh, that's Adam.
He's read that already.
I know, because it was in one of those highlighted big parts. Uh-oh. I didn't realize it was also going to be in the...
Who fucking writes these articles?
Our marriage is better now than it's ever been, but we're still going to fight, says Adam. I think it helped demonstrate that arguing happens all the time in a relationship. If you're going to fight about things that matter and can be resolved. Well, we don't agree with that. We agree to have the same fight for 15 years. They're also very open about nearly breaking up a few years ago, partly because of Adam's drinking and lack of communication after the death of his father. I just want to say my husband drinks way too much, and it's so annoying. So I started this podcast where we drink.
Yeah? Huh? Do they ever talk about swinging with other couples like we do? Huh? No.
We don't talk about it. I say shut up.
See, now you're clamming up. You're trying to kiss ass to the post. You think the post is
we can do it post.
You think the post is going to come along and do another article on a couple now?
It got to the point where things were awful, and I said, "This is it." It got to the point where things were awful, and I said, "This is it. If it doesn't change now, I'm done," says Danielle. But we worked through it, and the situation is much different now. If he hadn't been able to turn it around, or I felt it was still a problem, we wouldn't be doing the podcast. That's what we got to do. We got to get in there. I'm gonna start going to his favorite watering hole, okay? I'm going to start getting him to drink a little extra every night. See where I'm going with this?
Are you going to make Adam relapse?
I mean, he's already drinking. I'm not making him relapse. Oh. I'm just going to take it to a new level so they stop doing the podcast. Adam says the podcasts work as a sort of therapy for their marriage.
Maybe I'll find her.
This, if people listen to this...
Want me to find her and start an affair with her?
Oh, would you do that for us? Thank you. Oh, my God. What a...
I've never had a
what
MILF.
What a treasure. What a treasure. She didn't call herself a MILF. I said that.
She's thinking it now after this fucking article.
Adam says the podcast works as a sort of a therapy for their marriage. It's actually quite romantic, he says, being able to sit together and talk things over. Oh. Well, guys, if this is the kind of cuck you want to follow, by all means, go ahead. Oh, my God. But relationship therapist Dr. Gilda Carl is a little skeptical of podcasting as an avenue for marital bliss. Oh, yeah, of course, a marriage therapist is going to be like, yeah, no, we think it works better in the privacy of an expensive office.
You know, as a comic, I don't think I should wear clubs. I think they should hire the waiters and waitresses to do the stand-up.
I'm sorry. I want to be on your side a lot of the time, you know, but I can't.
What?
That analogy.
It's the analogy saying a therapist doesn't think it works because the therapist wants them to come to them.
Yes.
So I'm saying... I don't need to work. Let somebody else do it.
But you're going against your own thing. You're using an analogy that works against you. Oh, God. Okay, I'm going to... After this podcast, we're going to do a little English homework. I'm going to teach you some... I taught you your and your. You're doing very good with it, right? Because all you have to do is the little simple trick.
What's the trick?
Can you say you are? If you can say you are, you put a apostrophe.
I know that. I've been knowing that forever. I've been knowing that for years on end. Wrap this segment up. She's getting on my nerves.
Okay, listen.
I don't know who I hate more, them or the post for doing this. After we've done almost 340 fucking episodes.
Oh, yeah, like 3 months in these fucking...
Yeah.
It's because he obviously knew someone who knew someone. How do we not know anyone? That's
we do know everyone, which is like... We were... what's his name wants to do us his podcast? Zara Fried, who has a gigantic podcast. And but his podcast is with a company that... with a marketing company. Our problem is we don't have a marketing company behind us. That's all it is marketing. You know, he's a good guy, Jared, funny. But his podcast is fucking blah. He sells out everywhere. It's a relationship thing. And he wants to, you know, it's always, and they never bring on like a married couple. So they want us to go on.
And well, they better hurry. I've got certain things in the works.
What do you mean? Not going to be married?
Stop. You said you'd never be able to, you would not be able to be married to a Trump supporter, so I'm working on it.
What, becoming a Trump supporter?
Yes, this is harder than I thought. Okay, listen. Okay, this is the therapist. This is kind of interesting. It's a little skeptical of podcasting as an avenue for marital bliss. I agree. I 100% agree.
I do this fully
to entertain people.
Yeah,
it doesn't help us for therapy. Doesn't help us. They are airing their dirty laundry here, and people are rubbernecking into their lives, she tells the Post. She'd rather see people sort their issues out in front of a professional than a peanut gallery. Woo! This therapist sounds terrific.
Well, she didn't do the F-bomb, but peanut gallery can get
peanut
a little...
gallery. Woo. You're digging deep for that one. Plus, she worries that oversharing
who's
might be...
Who's the therapist? Kathleen Bates from Misery?
Yeah. Plus, she worries that oversharing might be problematic for their kids. There are some things you want to keep from your adolescent children. They need to see their parents as having a strong, united front.
Well, maybe the kids aren't down there while they're doing the fucking pocket. Now I don't like the therapist.
No, the therapist is trash.
I don't like the therapist.
Everybody's in it for their own. I don't like the couple. I don't like the post. I don't like the kids.
I don't like the people that read this article.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like anything about it. Nothing about it I like.
And, you know, it sounds like we're jealous. It sounds like we have some envy about it, but that's not really what it is. Okay. For example, but Adam and Daniel say they're thoughtful about how much they divulge. Well, right then and there, they're boundaryless. They're phonies.
You know what they are?
They're thinking it through.
They're probably writing notes before they do it. You know, write down stuff. What can we talk about?
The one time we did it, we had a fucking phenomenal podcast. So let's not denigrate that too much.
We've never written notes.
I wrote down.
Oh, but I didn't follow them.
Oh, aren't you? Well, bully for you.
Okay.
Bully for you.
I didn't listen to your dumb notes.
Oh, you know what Dr. Gilda Carr would say about that?
What?
You're terrible. I don't know.
Our fucking peanut gallery is much, much more dedicated than their peanut gallery. That's all I'm saying.
It's not true. It's just our peanut gallery is much, much more broken, probably, than their peanut gallery.
1,100 podcasts. Whatever. We've had over fucking 4 million downloads on our podcast. I put that in the fucking article, New York Post. Over 4 million downloads.
We have?
Yeah.
That's embarrassing. For example, while they're frank about their love life, they've talked about their liking for biting and rough sex. Oh my God, Rich, this is... As well as Adam's fondness for Danielle's breasts.
Ugh.
They also know that some things should stay between the two of them.
Yeah.
I think it's okay if your kids know that you have, like, a biting fetish. Kids come in here with something to talk about. You see all those marks on your dad? We have talked about it enough to the point where people get a sense of it. But also we respect that there's only so much we want to say that they want to hear, says Danielle. A few of our kids' teachers even listened in.
Oh, yeah? Well, guess what? We've had even more important people listen to us.
Good one.
Way more important people that listen than teachers. We had a principal. We had the Board of Education listen to us.
Bad.
We had the school chancellor.
I feel like this article was like written, and then they said, we're going to need this article be twice as long, and the writer had to go back and be like, oh, fuck. Now
Betsy
what?
DeVos listened to us.
They're also conscious of the fact that their kids could stumble upon the podcast, though they don't discuss the contents much at dinner table. They know their parents are very open people, says Danielle, and they know we curse and fight in front of them. I don't want my kids to think that the marriage and fighting aren't intertwined. I want them to know it can be hard work. They say their teenage daughter, Mia, is unique and doesn't care what they do, but admit there may be come a time when they have to stop being so candid. And then that's when their fans come over to us, because we'll never stop being candid, a word Rich probably doesn't know what it means.
Oh, yeah? Let me hear your fucking...
Do you know what candid
means? Yeah, do you?
Of course I do.
Let me hear.
No, because then you'll just say yes or no.
No,
that's a cop-out.
I
What does it mean, Rich?
No, I'm not going to... You don't know what it means?
What's it going to be like in a few years when our daughter is older? Asked Danielle. We don't know. We'll reevaluate then. Meanwhile, the only negative feedback the couple has received was about Danielle's swearing. A guy told me I should tone it down concerning my language and how I speak to Adam. I can only assume it's because I'm a woman because he wasn't bothered by Adam's language, she says. Another listener complained that they weren't qualified relationship counselors. You know what? Guess what? We get death threats. So fuck them. Fuck them and their haters. We have haters, right?
True that. Truthful and straightforward. That's what candid is.
The whole point of the podcast
is that
we're not
is?
Experts, says Danielle. Most people find us refreshing. Most people. That's...
First of all, candid means...
She's got quite an ego on her. Most people...
Truthful and straightforward. Okay.
Most people hate us, so... Boom.
You know what? They could fucking kiss my butt because they hurt us.
His butt. Because he didn't want to drop the A-bomb?
They could kiss my grits. They could kiss my grits. Okay?
Do you think Gilda's right behind you?
Who's Gilda?
Dr. Gilda.
Oh, I forgot already.
Dr. Gilda Carl.
Truthful and straightforward. Do you know what that is?
I know what the words mean, sure.
Candid.
Would you just Google? Did you just ask Siri or something?
No, you would have heard me. You're looking right at me.
You would have heard me.
Fucking dumb. Do our read now, because this is a good time to do the read.
I didn't know that we had one.
Yeah.
Listen, I thought we were going to do...
What?
Talk about your woke.
We could talk about
your wokeness.
Everyone.
I got to talk about that. Rich, you didn't... Forward the... Oh, here it is. Blue Chew. Hey, people. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Back when you could finish with a woman and then be ready to perform again? Or with a man. Let's not be... Or with someone who's non-binary. And when you performed, it was never at the three-quarters mast. No. Always at full mast. But like all things, age catches up and can impact your performance. But thanks to our new sponsor, BlueChew.com, you can increase your performance and get some extra firepower in bed for free with the promo code WIFE. That's WIFE. BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue, and chew, because BlueChew.com, chew, C-H-E-W, because BlueChew.com has created the first chewable supplement packed with the same FDA-approved active ingredient as Viagra and Cialis. I know, didn't you always, when you were taking Viagra, go, I wish I could chew this?
Yeah, and it takes an hour for it to kick in, those other ones.
Oh, but since they're chewable, they'll work up to twice as fast as the pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Well,
yep.
Almost as fast.
Well, it's a.
Well, you could do some. You know what you could do? You could do a little foreplay while you're waiting for it to kick in.
Or
huh?
You
hint,
have less.
Hint.
Or you have less time to change your mind.
Oh, with Blue Chew, you'll be at 100% whenever you need to be. And not only that, but it can shorten your recovery period if you want to go again in the same night. Do people want that? Blue Chew ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit. Oh, nice. No waiting around at the pharmacy. No saying, hey, my best friend wants something. And best of all, I've been told that your dick gets harder.
It doesn't
faster.
Say that.
What's not to love?
It says that? Whoa.
They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And here's the deal. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code WIFE, W-I-F-E. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's B-L-U-E. Chew, CHEW.com, promo code WIFE, WIFE, to try it free.
That's a good deal. That's a good deal. That was at around 27 minutes.
What, I did too much?
No. Rob said.
When we do the read. Well, you got to be careful about editorializing in a read. That's how we lose them, which I had to stop myself from doing many, many times.
What's that?
I could have made that one very funny, but I chose not to.
No, you got to.
I said, you know what? I'm in the system now. This is how we do it.
We got a couple next week. We're getting a lot of reads because we're popular.
I'm marketing. Marketing, one of the most evil things that we do as this country. But anyway.
I wonder how many reads old Manalapan or wherever they're from have. How many reads do they have?
Listen, let it go. All right? They're just two nice people trying to make a fucking business for their family outside of their day jobs.
Let me touch your breasts. They've never done that during a podcast.
Hey, listen, buddy.
What?
If you can't beat them on pure comedy...
What? No.
Then you better get out of that chair.
What was that?
All right. You got to go sexual on this? Who are you? What are you?
You know
what? A new female comic?
You know what I think?
What?
I keep saying, did my boots come? I don't think I ordered them because I'm looking at all my accounts and I can't see anywhere that I bought these boots that I think I ordered.
Look at your credit card.
I looked at my bank statement.
Well, then you didn't order them. It happens.
Nah, but I think maybe something went wrong. I thought I ordered them. What could have went wrong?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what. The Post isn't going to do a story on us talking about this shit.
Yeah, they will.
They will. Oh, yeah, that Post. And sometimes he's so obsessive compulsive. One time he didn't realize he ordered boots and he didn't order the boots. What a day that was. It was as I recall, a Thursday afternoon.
I got to take a nap.
Another thing they never say during their podcast, is it over? That's me, folks. I'm making fun of myself. Look at that.
I'm exhausted.
A little self-deprecation on my part.
I only slept like 5 hours. I have arthritis in my back and in my hip. I'm in pain.
Sorry to hear that.
And it's not something that goes away.
Backwards, which... hurts everyone else.
I'm in pain.
Uh-huh.
I'm reading this document. I'm watching this documentary on a pain supplement called, I think it's called, what's it called?
Take Your Medicine?
What's that?
Is it called Take Your Medicine?
No, it's a documentary on a stuff called Kratom. K-R-A-T-O-M. Kratom. A documentary. It's from a leaf. A leaf, and it's a supplement that's supposed to be. I just started a documentary, so I can't really speak on it. But it's a supplement that's supposed to relieve pain. But obviously,
does it relieve saliva? Too much saliva in your mouth? Because look, it's like literally dripping out of your mouth.
But
and yet you still didn't move your mouth away and like.
But
swallow that saliva.
So I'll give
you
an update.
What is it? Is it from drugs? Your mouth being so dry for so long and now it's overcompensating all the time?
Kratom.
It's the gum?
K-R-A-T-O-M. I'm gonna watch the rest of this documentary.
She gets mad at him because of his Nicorette addiction.
I'm going to look at the rest of this documentary and see if this is... I mean, if it's supposed to be not a narcotic. It's supposed to be a natural supplement. But then again, the drug companies...
you know, crush these things because they want to sell. What's that painkiller that everybody uses?
Oxycontin.
Oxycodone or something, or Oxycontins. So, you know, they're powerful. So I'll update you, and hopefully it's non-addictive.
We've got to break the backs of these drug companies.
Hopefully.
Got to break the backs of the fucking insurance companies.
Katrom, K-A-T-R-O-M. Then also my friend sent me a documentary on how do you say that? Testosterone,
yeah.
Yeah. Another one, Growing Young on Amazon Prime Video. It's called Growing Young. It's about, you know, because I talked to my doctor the other day about testosterone. And he said, oh, that causes cancer. But all this new...
Research.
Calm down.
I'm
says it doesn't. So I don't know. So I got to watch these. But then you watch these documentaries. They're always one-sided. They're always, who's ever making the documentary, usually leaning towards what they want you to know. Do you see what I'm saying? So even documentaries, you can't go, oh, well, they say it's great.
You got to break the backs of these documentaries.
Do you know, how do you ever learn the truth? You got to take the medicine.
It's only going to get harder.
You know, you take the Katrom or whatever
it's
called.
Well, how come you haven't been doing your...
What?
Your archery.
When it gets cold, I start archery.
Yeah, start doing it again.
Why?
Because it's a survival. The survivalists do it.
Yeah.
Isn't that why you start it?
No, I started because I couldn't hit a golf ball and I was bored, so I took up archery.
Well, it goes hand in hand with your obsession for keeping canned goods in the basement.
Canned goods and water?
She doesn't like his obsession with keeping canned goods in the basement.
And water.
They argue over a basement suite.
Toilet paper. I have a 5-gallon bucket with plastic baggies to poop
in. He thinks he's an art critic. She doesn't like it.
What do you mean I think I'm an art critic?
Well, you love your art.
Yeah.
That's the one thing we get along with about.
What?
The
do you
art.
Like, do you like my taste in art?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was liking your taste in art or that we just shared a taste in art.
Obviously, the stuff I brought up in our room, you put it up because you liked it. And I liked it, so you like my taste in art. The pictures of those three ladies, the other, you know, I like that. And you go, oh, that I do like that. So you also like my taste in art.
I don't know anything about myself until you introduce it to me. So thank you for that.
No, you have a taste in art, but you like my taste in art. You think I have a good eye for art. That's
okay.
What you think.
Sure, yep.
Well, do you like the picture of the guy
I love
skating?
It.
The guy skating, do you like that?
Yeah, I picked that out.
No, I picked it
I
out.
I picked it out.
You didn't pick it out. I picked it. Do you like that one, the Victorian one?
Of course, I love the Victorian ones.
You do?
Goodbye.
What are you saying goodbye for?
Because I'm tired of you and you're like, I introduced you to Diet Coke. You never had it before me. You were drinking Diet Pepsi. I mean, you're just like insane about things. You never had an everything bagel before I met you. You think you just like introduced me to everything in life.
To a lot of things. What was...
I used to eat spaghetti and butter. Then I realized it was bad. You still eat spaghetti and butter.
No, I didn't. I never did spaghetti and butter. The fuck is wrong with you?
You told me before you used to just put butter on like huge pats of butter on spaghetti.
When did I tell you that?
Really?
I used to make fettuccine.
Oh, maybe big, that was it.
Big fucking things of fettuccine. I didn't know that it was bad for you when I was young. What?
She doesn't like you.
Oh, she went to the bathroom.
Did you pee-pee on the bed? Oh, she's a good girl.
Oh, good. So every time she does what she's supposed to, you give her a little, you give her a treat.
Should I do that with you? I've been doing that with you, and you don't even fucking know it.
No, please.
Oh, you grabbed an F bomb.
I fucking...
Talk about the Jill Soloway...
No, we don't have enough time.
Oh, my God, Rich, I got to tell the story.
You can tell whatever you want. Go ahead. What about those pieces of chicken I got her?
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
Big slab of turkey. You know how much money we spend on turkey to feed this dog? Because she does what she's supposed to. Not even. She will never. We take her for a walk for 45 minutes.
Do you want to stop doing it? What do you want to do? How do you fix this, Rich?
I don't
all you
dog.
Do is complain about the dog. Should I kill her? Look, no. Come over here. I'm gonna snap your neck. Come here.
You see,
you're gonna make daddy happy.
You see, they would do that on their podcast.
We snapped a dog's neck on our podcast. Something I loved more than anything in the world. I was willing to kill it in order to fucking teach Rich a lesson. Okay. How about that?
How about that? Do that on your podcast, huh? Do you flush fish down the toilet?
You should know in advance. Oh, there's too many things in that sentence I cannot do.
I had too much water.
Yeah, you it's like,
do you flush?
No.
There?
But why would you do it? Why would you do it? You didn't have to say that sentence.
Do you flush?
Do you flush fish down the
toilet? No, I fucked up on that one because I had water. Do you flush?
Do you flush fish down the flusher?
Yeah, I didn't do that. Okay, radio listener.
Oh, hey. Shut up.
No.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. We can't make fun of Rich?
No.
We can never make fun of little baby Richard.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Mr. Who everybody else got to take a joke, but not little baby Richard.
Oh, do you want me to make fun of you? Mm. Oh, I make fun of you. You stop and go.
Somebody have a lip?
You go stop. I wouldn't do that with your forehead. I could see all your wrinkles up there.
Good. Good. Then people know. I fucking, this is natural, bitch. Not freezing it at all. Going into that deep unknown. My fucking real face. That's it. I'm doing it.
Do what you gotta do to survive.
Oh yeah, I know. I know why you're saying that. Because
what?
I'm not gonna say it.
I'm not doing that procedure.
Mm-hmm. The fact that you went and got a consultation means there's, I feel bad for you. I feel sad.
I feel bad for you every day.
Well, I feel worse for you.
I'm in mourning.
Okay, so we're going to this hugely feminist thing. Jill Soloway's been my friend for many, many years. Jill Soloway was my friend back when Jill Soloway was still identifying as a straight woman. Now she is.
Does she have kids?
Yeah, two kids.
Oh.
But she's non-binary. Oh, so they're non-binary. Pardon me.
What's that?
It means they don't identify as male or female, but somewhere in the middle.
Her kids?
No.
Oh.
Their own person, Jill, identifies that for herself.
As what?
Non-binary.
Okay.
Okay. She's very smart, very good writer. She like created Transparent.
Did she direct it too?
Yep.
She directed it?
I don't know about all of them.
I thought she said that. She directed
She directed a lot of them.
She wrote every episode?
I mean, she has writers. They have writers.
Oh.
Yes. So,
was she the head writer, though?
You got to stop saying she. That's what I'm trying to do. Oh. They want to be referred to as they. It's tough. It's hard to do at first.
Okay.
You know, he and she is one of the first things we learn as a baby. You know?
All right, go ahead. I don't want
to. So then it becomes very difficult to change that.
Does
but anywho, so they were on the panel with Hannah Gadsby.
They? Her and Hannah.
Why? What do you care?
But if you're saying they, you think there's more than one person.
Well, it's not. It's
misleading. Your people are.
Either.
Can't they come up with something easier? So
some people say Z, but that seems harder to me.
It's just
this is what they want you to say. So why don't you just say it? What's the big deal? I mean, if you make a mistake, it's fine. But you're actively going out of your way to not say
it. I'm not going out of my way. I'm just saying.
Okay, so we're on our way to this thing, and I used the word patriarchy on the way there, and Rich goes, "What is that?"
I did not.
And I was blown away that you wouldn't know what that was. So I explained what it was. There's a matriarchy. It's when women are in charge of the planet. And then there's a patriarchy when men are in charge of the planet. So we're living in a patriarchy. And Jill's whole thing, slightly tongue-in-cheek, is top of the patriarchy. But not really tongue-in-cheek. But I don't think it's like meant as a battle cry exactly. But anyway, so.
Do you know what? That Hannah Gadsby
mm-hmm.
is a real good golfer, I heard. I mean, really good.
Yeah.
played, you know, when she was young. I mean,
okay, so we're in the thing. We go get our tickets, go in, and it's really predominantly female and
lesbian.
Yeah, even more so lesbian.
But there were some
looking people. We
there
don't
were some
know
very good looking girls, and I couldn't see it. I couldn't tell I if they were lesbian.
Trans. There was a lot of trans women there also. And then a few men, mostly very young.
And me.
And Rich. And Rich, who looked like I just got him out of prison, wearing his, he was just in the Mexican gang in prison, and I got him out. We came straight to the most feminist thing we could think of. So I leaned over to him there and I said, remember, you're the patriarchy. And again, you go, what's that?
No.
From moments earlier to explaining it. How do you not know what it is? Do you know now what it is?
I don't agree with it.
Yes, thank you. No what? One does. That the patriarchy should be dismantled.
I don't agree with... You don't see my point of view with things. And I was talking about it with somebody last night.
All I've ever had to do is listen to the man's point of view.
Can I just tell you what
you didn't
really,
get anything out of that?
Yeah. But what really is going on in this world, it's all, I mean, money that you can't even imagine. Money, people that have money that even more than Walmart money or Bezos money or whatever his name is. And everything else, all this other shit, white versus black, male versus female, or women versus men, and right versus left, all of it is just a bunch of little pawns in their world of real fucking money.
Right, but the real money belongs to whom?
Whatever families have.
Who has the money?
I don't even, you probably don't
who
even know.
Who has the power in our...
I'm talking about Illuminati.
In the legislative branch of the government.
I'm not talking about politics, I'm talking about
I
money.
Know, but I'm just saying, it's like, it's yeah. still, you can say, that's true. What you're saying is absolutely true. No one's denying that. But as we get further into it, you start to realize, like, I'm recently woke to the whole thing. It's like, it's a system that you can't get out from under. You know,
but
even,
all this
even,
whole thing is woke. I've known this for years. Who had that? Were just fucking pawns in this fucking game of life. No one
right,
gives
but
a
the,
fuck.
Right, but the thing is that you still whatever. I don't want to get into a
what?
Fight with you about
not
it.
Not
getting
a fight.
But did you take anything away from what they were talking about at that talk?
Yeah.
At the Times talk.
Yeah, I thought Hannah was kind of funny throughout the thing.
She was funny, right?
Yeah, see, I thought she was very funny. And Jill had some nice fucking Jordans on. She had a... I said, had nice Jordans on. I said, Jill.
You said, Jill. She had some nice fucking Jordans on.
Okay, Jill, they had... Does that flow? Does that flow in a conversation?
Neither does Jill she, but you use that.
Yeah, Jill.
You were saying Jill, and then you stopped and said she.
No, Jill had nice Jordans on.
Go.
Hannah was funny. You know, they're in there mainly talking about their struggle in life and in show business as a woman, as a gay woman. And you're going, wow. But then you think to yourself, well, you know what? I have my struggle. Black guys have their struggle. Everybody, if you're not the fucking, to me, my opinion, if you're not super rich or stupid rich or even athlete rich, you know, Dave Chappelle rich, you know, has a fucking struggle. Everybody, I could get together a bunch of people that, their parents were divorced when they were my age, and what they went through with
their parents got divorced at 61?
No, when I was young, and went through what I went through, and go, oh, they probably struggled through a bunch of shit in life. So everybody has their own struggle, and everybody's looking out for their own cause and struggle, which there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Right. No, I totally agree with you, and I also don't think, like, believe me, I don't think like all white men have some huge benefit in life. I just think that when you look at things, it is easier for you to cross lines than it is for other people, I think, okay, lots of times.
I was told,
like, if you wanted to go into certain professions, yes, it's easier for you. If you look at the way, you know, movie directors are, you know, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's like, if you start looking at movies that are made before 10 years ago, it's all men and predominantly white men who made the movies, you know? Predominantly men who wrote the movies. It's like there's been this thing where, you know, when you look at it, it's like, oh, who did it? And then they say, oh, because women weren't, or women didn't, or, you know, these other people wouldn't or couldn't or didn't or don't or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, and it's not necessarily anyone's fault, it's like we look for stories that reflect our own. So if white men are in charge, they're looking, they think things are good that they relate to.
Well, I was.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So then it perpetuates that, and then they say, "Oh, well, women aren't as good, or you know, Asian men aren't as good." Or, but that's just because maybe their stories don't reflect their, so it doesn't resonate with them the same way. And that's not anybody's fault, because we all do it. And that's something that Jill said also, is that we're all looking for a way to perpetuate our own stories.
Yeah, and I was talking with a black male comic last night, and we're discussing this, and he said, well, you know, you do, growing up, you had one up on me because I'm black and people, I go, yes, on the outside, yes, I do have one up. If we both walked into a bank, maybe I probably have a better chance of getting a loan until they did the research.
Not if you're wearing a sleeveless shirt and a backwards baseball, huh?
I do, on the outside, have a one up. But mentally, we're at the same level, because I'm walking in with whatever self-esteem I have. So you can't put the outside picture of what's really going on the on your insides.
Right, but
you
it's just one extra little challenge that you don't have that someone else does.
Yes, okay. But I might have more eternal challenges than that person.
Eternal? Wow. External, you mean?
No, internal.
Oh.
Internal challenges.
True. No.
So I could, we both could walk in, but I could walk in there and thinking, I don't have a shot at this. This isn't going to happen for me. And
right. I think a lot of it is that, is like you.
It's your own internal fucking.
When you're born into privilege, like I'm talking about, where you get to go to Princeton and your parents all went to Princeton and you live in this sort of rarefied world. It's like, it's not just the money that helps you. It's that like sort of feeling that nothing bad can happen to you. It's like you get to walk around the world being like, I can get out of any situation. I can handle any situation. It's that you've been sort of raised to shake people's hands and look them in the eye and not have any kind of shame about your own upbringing. That's, you know, that's like worth a lot of too, in terms of like who you become and what you can do in life.
I talked about this with him last night, coming from a broken home at a young age. You didn't feel you were good enough to hang with the other kids that had these houses and parents that you thought, you know, were these great families. So you were always drawn to other dysfunctional kids that came from broken homes or bad backgrounds or whatever. So, you are, without a doubt, I don't care what anybody says, a product of your environment. Growing up, you know, some people tend to sway the other way, can come from the greatest families in the world and become the worst people, or, you know, drug addicts, murder, whatever. But whatever the statistics are, you are a product of, you know, that's embedded in your fucking brain.
You think even more so than race or gender?
Yes, it's embedded in you. So, yes, I have a one-up because I'm white, but I don't consider myself
that. There's lots of women who are rich that still can't get things because they're women. It's harder. It's much harder.
Yes, but guess what? That's, everybody has their own struggle. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, their struggle, their speech the other night, it was mainly their struggle. So they want me to see their point of view.
Yes.
Which, yeah, I see. But
I think
me
saying,
fighting for your struggle, what about my struggle?
Okay, right. Okay, so I think what they're saying is, like, we've seen your struggle. We've been privy to it. We've seen movies about it, TV shows about it, read books about it. Your stories are already out there and have been told over and over again. We know the struggle of the white man, let's say, you know.
That's not my struggle, but go ahead.
Whatever, But when it comes to other, you've never seen the struggle of until she started making that TV show of like a dad who transitioned late in life. Like, that's not a story that you've seen before.
Uh-huh.
Not that you have to watch it or whatever, but just that it's out there for other people. It's like that there's other things for other people. That's basically what she's saying is like, now it's time to sort of like open up. We're not saying never have your story told again or never have anybody relate to your story. It's like there, but what about all these other stories that we could be listening
but
to?
But also too, in this world, when it comes to anything, it breaks down to numbers. Everything breaks down to numbers. So just,
yeah, but they're finding out that that what they thought would break down to numbers is really bullshit.
Well,
they've been using that excuse for a long time.
I'm saying if you say you take people from broken homes, what's the percentage of that in America compared to the people that are transgender? So say I'm just throwing numbers out. Say broken homes are 2% and transgender is 0.3%. So there's going to be more attention focused on the bigger number.
Because it's more relatable to more people, you're saying.
Yes, and more people are dealing with it.
Right.
More people are dealing with it. So we're not saying that
those people
don't care. But we're
saying like people might want to see other stories. Like I've had, you know.
And the key word is want, not be forced.
If you're, let's say you're a black woman. You've had to watch other people's stories for a long time in life, let's say.
You haven't. You didn't have to. You could.
Well, there's much more out there mainstream for. So I'm just saying like, you know, but maybe other, like maybe I want to see a story about a black girl. Maybe I want to see a story about a trans person. It's not like you just only want to watch stories. Some people do like to see other things. So,
but here's what you're doing. You're breaking everything down in society pretty much and throwing it in the laps of the entertainment business.
No, that's what I'm in. If I was a doctor, I'd be like, hey, we need to get some, you know.
But you're saying see. You're saying the people out there, the masses, only see this. There's other avenues.
Yeah, but that's the thing is that, you know.
Entertainment business, yes, it's not fair, you're saying.
No, I'm saying life isn't fair for a lot of people. I'm saying life isn't fair for a lot of people.
I agree 100%.
And I'm not like, it's just, it's weird. I guess you can't see it because if you saw it.
I do see it. And I'm open to, I watch everything. I listen to anybody. I'll watch all different types of comics. I'll listen to them. I am. But I'm not out there fighting for other causes when I'm trying to fight for myself, too. I'm not against causes. I'm not degrading any causes. But don't you think you come first?
What's your cause?
What's my cause? One.
Just getting food on the table? Like
no,
that's...
no. One of my causes is not to pick up a drug or a drink a day at a time.
Okay, well, that's
a pretty powerful cause because my cause will kill me. My cause will kill me if I don't do it. So if I do it,
I'm not. You're the one who's putting everything on a level of like what's important, what's not important.
If you say
I'm consumed with my own thing, fine. Nobody's saying
no.
Anything.
But I said I'm open.
But
to
say like.
But you're saying you have to be. You're saying people should have to be aware of everything.
I'm saying just all I'm at. All I'm saying is open your eyes.
Yes.
To it.
You don't think
I open your eyes?
You don't
to
think
it.
I have a pretty open mind about
life? You
know,
because
life.
Men tend to think like, "Oh, if I can do it, anyone can do it." They don't see that it's like, "No, you're not. You're not. You're actually It is easier for you. It's like when guys go, oh my God, just get up there and be funny. It's like, go fuck yourself. That audience has been curated for fucking 25, 30 years as a bro audience. So if you don't fucking make those people laugh, you know, it's a 100% different audience than the audience that Jill and Hannah had.
Well, are you, you know what I'm saying? Is this male versus female?
No, it's not anybody versus anybody. I'm just saying, open your eyes. I'm saying, stop pointing to that person and say, they're not funny.
They're not funny to you.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying in general, because you're not listening.
I'm listening. I agree.
And you keep just saying male versus female.
No, first of all. No, I said, what is your argument?
My argument is that, like... It's, you know, I want to quit stand up because there's no fucking way I can do this job as good as a fucking guy who gets the opportunities I will never get. It just becomes a thing where you're like, see, you're shaking your head.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah, but that's because you're not me. That's because you won't open your eyes.
That's not true. I think I know this stand up business pretty well.
I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of watching people in the audience just cheer and clap at anything a fucking dude says. And then being just a little more reticent about a woman. A little bit more like, You know, I'm tired of like getting angry on stage and having people think like, be scared of it. Just be so frightened of this fucking female anger. And then having Bill Burr be like, his whole fucking thing is just yelling at the audience.
But that's not true. Look at first one.
And believe me, I love Bill Burr, so I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying it gets tiresome to constantly be like, I have to find another road around this. I have to figure out another way around it. I'm tired of it.
One, you're saying, I could say, well, I'm tired of audiences laughing at black comics that are doing the same thing. You know,
they're not stopping you from doing what you want to do.
No one's stopping you. Yes, it is. You're only stopping yourself. When it comes to creativity and entertainment, you're only stopping yourself. You cannot put that much stock in the audience when you want to do something. If you want to fucking do it, you do it and do it. If it doesn't work every night, you just keep fucking doing
it. If it doesn't work every night, I'll stop working. They won't put me back on. I don't get the same benefits that you do.
How did Paula Bell used to kill? She was as angry as the next person. I'm sure there's other examples.
Did the industry?
I don't know what she got. I think she got stuff. I think she did all right. She got older like all of us. But I think look, even Joan Rivers wasn't angry with one-liners. You don't think she was an angry comic doing stuff about, oh, this person's at this. That's kind of, she wasn't angry against society. You're making faces. She wasn't angry against society, but showed anger towards people. So why are you making a face like I'm don't know what I'm talking about? You sit and make that face like, ooh, you're so stupid. But if you want to,
I never said you're so stupid. I disagree with you. Instead of shouting at you while you're talking as you do to me, I just decided to fucking not say anything while you ramble on about it. I'm not going to have this conversation anymore. I'm done.
Why do you think if you want to be if you have anger issues, you talk about it. That's all. No one's gonna get arrested. I don't have anger issues. Well, if you want to be an angry comic, or you're,
I don't want to be an angry comic. But anytime it gets a little like, you know, people, I'm sick of watching fucking guys who go, have been doing it for 3 years, go on and have the audience just sit in their fucking edge of their seats watching them do their fucking dumb dick jokes. A man is talking to me.
Well, I agree.
How wonderful.
I agree, like 100%. Annoying. I think audiences are... I agree 100%. But I follow
I'm not saying I don't do well. It's just, it's tiresome to kind of... Honestly, Rich, and this is what I'm talking about. You don't see the fucking... I get that you also have shit that happens to you on a daily basis, but I let this shit that happens to me on a daily basis, I fucking put blinders on for so long, thinking like, well, one day I'll be undeniable, one day they'll see that I'm as good as any man. I'll
People know that. Comics know it. Every comic knows
it. Well, the audience doesn't know it.
Oh, don't act like you bomb every night. You don't.
I don't, but I'm saying, like, listen.
What? You kill
Is there any point in time in life where you'll agree with me? I mean, it just,
yes,
it just,
I do agree, but you're
no, you don't. You're
I think
just,
you put you don't, yourself
instead of listening and taking it in and being like, let me think about it. You're like, no, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, You don't think I think you're a better comic than you think you are. So that's within you. I've seen you destroy audiences.
Of course, I can. I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm sick of fucking. Openers telling me how to do comedy after they've been doing it.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, but then if I say shut the fuck up, the club owner goes, oh, she's hard to work with and I never get work. I've had it happen to me. I fucking couldn't work that one club for how long because I made a joke about a fucking poster on the wall.
But that has nothing to do
with it. It does have something to do with it.
If some opener or some 3-year comic says something to you, and all you have to do is say, are you out of your mind? Do you
this
know my
guy
credits?
In L.A. when I was there, he made some fucking dumb joke at my expense. I go, how long have you been doing it? And he was like, I don't know, whatever, 5 years or something. And I just gave him a look, and my manager was like, woo. Like, everybody was like, oh, but that look, you're so mean to other comics. It's like, oh, really? Like, why do I have to be so fucking mean? But everybody else gets to just fucking say whatever they want.
I don't think it's being mean. I think it's sticking up for yourself.
Okay, well, then you're different than 99% of the people that were fucking standing around that night. I gave a look, and they were like, woo.
What are you talking about? Back in the day before I knew you or something? Are you talking about?
I'm talking about the last time I was in fucking L.A. This fucking piece of shit comic said something. I can't remember what he said to me. And I was like, you know, he made some joke, you know, like that he didn't know who I was or whatever. Yeah. And I just gave him a look and my manager was, I just went like, and then turned back around like I didn't answer him. And my manager was like, oh, you're so mean. So he goes, you're mean to people. I'm not mean to people. He goes, oh, yeah, the look you gave that guy. Well, a fucking look.
Listen, here's
okay, the
my
guy
opinion.
Came off stage and fucking kissed me. Doing our cross.
Well, I wouldn't have put up with that. But
okay. I fucking killed that show, and he had the balls to fucking do that. It's like, you think he would do something like that to you?
I don't look as good as you.
I'm just saying, it's like, it's constant.
But
I'm
life,
tired of it.
In life... You don't have to please a manager or please anybody that's around you. You have to please yourself. If someone says something,
I know, but Rich, please, what? You are constantly getting angry about being misunderstood. Constantly.
But I don't let people fucking push me around, do I?
Listen, just listen for a second. Instead of defending whatever dumb actions you think you have to defend. You're also angry a lot of times at being mischaracterized. Okay, so now when I'm saying I'm mischaracterized, you're like, no, not true. Think about other people.
No,
tell
no.
that to yourself next time that you have this conversation
with me. But I haven't changed, have I? Have I changed even though I'm mischaracterized?
You've never changed one time for any reason, which is my fucking biggest issue with you. You have no learning curve. Zero.
That's not true. You see, you think no one's... I'm looking at you like... you know, a lot of times things happen, you go, let it go. But then you push it down and it lingers in and then you get fucking explode. You don't let some things go. You don't let them go. You
yeah,
fucking
but if deal. Look, I'll get fucking people talking about this podcast and I'm a fucking, you're not funny. That's why. It's like always comes back to like, if you say, I'm not doing as good as I should be doing, it's because you're not funny, you're a piece of shit, you're garbage. It's like you never get out of it. There's always a way out for everyone to be like, well, you're just not good enough. You're just not good enough. It's like, make yourself undeniable. But then to whom?
What do you mean? Getting your own audience? Getting your own.
I'm just saying, it's like, well, I can't go get my own audience. I can't. I don't go on the road.
You're right, but if you had two TV shows or something happen, they'd be flying in to see you.
Yeah,
that's
but
all that matters.
It's
that's what this business is, don't you think? How do you think anybody builds an audience from something they did, you know, from doing Rogan's podcast or some TV show or whatever? They, people, you know, whatever. How do they build an audience?
I know. I get it. I'm just tired of doing it.
Yeah, I know. I get that. I get it. I get the...
Tired of looking down into their dumb faces.
I say that all the time. I go, why am I doing this?
Listen, it's not just guys in the audience that are fucking annoying. It's like... Women are just as fucking annoying in there.
You just gotta find...
Looking at you with a curled up lip like you fucking smell bad.
You don't... I fucking walked on last night. I followed... What's her name? That tall Latin girl. What's her name? She's funny.
Carmen Lynch?
No.
Oh, Ida.
Yeah.
Yeah. Killed. Ida Rodriguez. Yeah.
Killed. I go up, my first joke didn't work. You know, they're looking at me like, you know, and I ended up killing after her, killing. And after the first joke didn't work, I go, oh, fuck, this is going to be a long set. And then I just did whatever. But it's very seldom in your favor a lot of times. Do you know what I mean? So you're smart enough. One, your material is great enough, and two, your crowd work is fantastic. So, you know, I can see the hatred towards the audience in doing this. I gotta do it all over the fucking country and walk up and see these crowds that are falling for bullshit comics before me that are fucking going nuts. I'm in Vegas watching a guy stand on his head and the crowd's going nuts, and I gotta go on after this. And you don't think there's disdain for these fucking people. I don't know. It's very frustrating, and I'm sure it's more frustrating for a female comic. Do I have too much saliva? You're saying swallow? The fucking stuff I read on fucking Twitter. Are you kidding me? I had a guy say something negative to me that says he's a comic with 3 followers. I go, are you out of your fucking mind? These are new comics that think they could talk to me that way. I go, are you kidding me? I could crush you. So when a comic comes up to you and says something like that, you just go, whatever. You got to do whatever you do to walk away feeling like not the victim. You know, when some dumb comic goes, I don't know, you go, tough, do some fucking research. Do you hear what I'm saying? You shouldn't have to walk away feeling bad when a new comic goes, I don't know you. Do some fucking research. Learn your fucking business. You want to be a comic? Learn who's fucking opened up the doors for you. Some young female comic says something to you, I opened up the door for you to do what the fuck you're doing. And people open up the doors for us to do what we're doing. So, fuck them. I'll talk to you. I don't know you. Go fuck yourself. Fucking 100 TV credits, you tell them. You don't know me? Well, I have 100.
I think 100. it was more... What, baby? That it was like, oh, you're Rich Voss's wife.
Well, that's different. Now you go, no, he's my husband.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one. I gotta go, everybody.
Why are you leaving? I don't want you to leave.
Stop reading the post. That's what we're gonna do.
All right. Don't be mad at
hashtag,
me. I'm on your side.
Hashtag ban the post.
Is that the name of this title?
Yes. All right. Let's cut out the last half of this.
No, it's
no.
Good.
I hate complaining, and people are just gonna be you're not funny.
I think you're very funny.
You know, it's just like, they get to just use it. Like, you're not good enough. That's why.
Well, that's bullshit.
Look at, I got one already. Is it Bonnie's bitterness?
How did you get one? The podcast isn't even out yet.
Because I wrote, it's about, you know, it's bigger than 1 million billion suns put together, said astronomers. And I wrote, is it Louis' ego? I mean, the guy has fucking, my point only is that the world fucking hates him right now, and he has no problem going up on stage.
Well, but you know but what's wrong with having an ego if you're a con? What's wrong? He's earned
business. I didn't editorialize on if it's right or wrong to have an ego. I just said, is it his ego? And And, oh yeah, here we go. I don't know why comedians don't like you. Oh yeah, it's because you're not funny and you don't stand up for fellow comedians. But if he helped you, you would be fine with him. You're a hypocrite. Spelled wrong. You're just like you were when you were kissing ass to get on Sirius XM.
She favored it. Yeah, but that's, I get those all the time. Wait, oh, you want to hear me to read the one about the guy that wrote about, did I went to Jill, hold on. And this is from, let me see if I can find this. I'm never going to find it, fuck. Okay. Hold on, this is a good one. Find one. Oh, there's that dumb couple. Oh, shit.
But even that, like, it's like, it's so minor. Is it Louis Zigo? Like, that's a pretty funny joke.
Yeah.
And then people are like, you fucking unfunny whore. They really defend him, man. It's crazy. But the thing is, like, you know, Louis did all this shit. He still gets to drop in at a club every night, you know. It's like, remember I didn't trip someone at that club and I got banned forever? I fucking pulled a poster off the wall once. I got banned forever. It's like...
Oh, okay. So I wrote... All I wrote is he's a fucking embarrassment.
Right.
I didn't say who.
Obviously talking about Louis.
No. I go, he's a fucking embarrassment. And this is what someone writes for me. Not as big as an embarrassment as attending a Hannah Gadsby speech. You sunk low for a dude who can't afford to sink low. Okay. And this is from a guy that says, stand-up comedian, writer, aspiring success. Three followers. So I wrote back, and then some comic last night, I was talking, showing him this. He said, why do you even answer him? I go, because he's young fucking
new comic.
But
that's what
comic.
They want. That's all they do. They troll, because then other trolls see them and click on them, and then they have more followers. And you're just basically helping trolls find one another.
But
although I just did it, too. I said, join my mailing list to that guy.
I want to write, and he never responded. Then, you know, and then I went and looked at his stuff online. I go, I tried to watch you. Read your notes on stage.
Yeah.
I lasted about 5 minutes. I go, I don't want to.
Well, 5 minutes is a long time.
Not 5 minutes. I meant like four.
I ended up watching the whole thing. You're terrific.
No, I only watched like 4 seconds. I go, I don't want to crush your dreams.
All right, I gotta go.
No, don't you have anything you want to plug? Don't you have
Chicago? Let's do this in Chicago, everybody. See, you can come find out for real if I'm funny or not. In Chicago on December 22nd, I'll be at the North Bar. So let's get those tickets now. So maybe I'll add a second show.
Is that how you're gonna walk away?
Yeah.
Hold on. Don't go anywhere, folks.
Do you want to get another martini?
What's that?
Are you getting another martini?
No, I want to plug some of my dates. I know, okay, November. Oh, the 17th, I'll be November 17th. Well, next week, not next week. Okay, let's start from the beginning. November 2 and 3, I'll be in St. Louis doing a casino. Look it up online. It's online. November 2 and 3 at a casino in St. Louis. November 6th through the 11th at the Rio in Las Vegas. November 17th, Laugh Out Loud Comedy in Poughkeepsie. November 23, 24, Rhode Island, the Comedy Connection. And December 1st, myself, Jim Florentine, Ron Bennington, Treehouse Comedy. Go to treehousecomedy.com. And November 7th and December. That's December 1st. And December 7th and 8th, Levity Live. December 7th, 8th, and 9th, Levity Live in Nyack. And December 14th and 15th, Doylestown, Pennsylvania. At in Doylestown, Comedy Cabaret.
So there's a bunch of dates. November, St. Louis, Vegas, Poughkeepsie, Rhode Island, December 1st, Connecticut, me, Florentine Bennington, then Levity Live in Nyack, and then Doylestown, and then New Year's Eve at Helium in Buffalo. So look, go to richvoss.com. All my dates are up there. And we're going to do another Patreon. We'll do one. We'll do one Patreon. We're going to do Patreon here and there. Do whatever you want. Subscribe, don't subscribe. This is the real deal. Thank you. Talk to you later.
She really hates him. It's really true. Why did she marry this jackass Jew? Some people say that opposites attract, but this seems more like a suicide pact. He's totally sober. She's not that drunk. He's really old and she's got some spunk. He's totally holy as an asinine bomb, and she's just a little less dumb. She really hates him. It's really true. But somewhere deep down, she loves him too.